Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
The Angels ready to celebrate. Show all these fans.
Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Red Sox win the World Series! 5-1 the final tonight!
You're listening to the Pesky Report, a podcast dedicated to the Boston Red Sox by Red Sox fans.
Report is happy to announce that we will be sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. High and Happy Catering creates gourmet meals for small or large events with a twist. All of their meals are cannabis infused. If you are looking to have a real happy meal, call them at 413-785-8999 or search for them on Instagram at High and Happy Catering. You'll be happy you did.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report. My name is Brad Chandler. This is episode number 57. With me today, I have my two co-hosts, Hogdale and Bailey. How are we both doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing really good.
It's weird to hear somebody say I'm doing really good after that kind of game that we just had.
It is what it is.
What game? Yeah. I have no idea what game you were speaking of.
Technically, we swept, you know, so, I mean, there's that. I don't think
a series win.
We swept. You know, it is what it is. You know, the last game didn't actually happen because we had our starter who would have pitched a lot better. He had to be scratched due to precautions for COVID-19. So we're dealing with more COVID situations, and right now we've got 11 people on the COVID IL. Let's go over the list real quick. We've got Kike Hernandez, Christian Arroyo, Martin Perez, Matt Barnes, Josh Taylor, Salamora, Xander Bogaerts, Jaron Duran, Javier Munoz, Danny Santana, and as I said earlier, Nick Pivetta, who was slated to be the starter for the game today, which would be actually Sunday when people hear this. So I'm actually surprised that the Red Sox are playing as well as they have been. I mean, they've won how many series? They won the Cleveland series last week that started the COVID situation. Kike went down. Arroyo went down. They end up splitting the series with the Rays. So that's not a loss. So I'll put that as a mark. I'll mark that as a win, winning the series there anyways. Yeah. And, you know, they ended up with how many more this week? For this series, they had one. Gyro, Danny, Pavetta, Duran, four people. And it seems like Saturday was the only day that nobody went down on the COVID IL. How surprised are you guys with the fact that the Red Sox have been playing this well with the situation?
I've been pretty shocked. I mean, considering, like, they've really just finally started to find themselves. Like, this team looks like what they looked like for the first, you know, two or three months of the year, at least offensively. And it's been very, very impressive. They've really shown resilience in a time when they really needed to show up, and especially like the starters, like the starting pitching performances. Chris Sale, E-Rod need to be commended so much. They went distance like when we needed them to, when the bullpen was decimated. Like you said, with those names, like those three like key bullpen arms and like Salamura, Taylor, and Barnes all gone. And like those guys went distance. Schwarber on the offensive end has been just the best trade deadline acquisition any team made. Like, I don't think that's debatable right now, at least on the offensive end. And like, I just can't say enough about these Red Sox. They've been resilient and they have shown they are far from dead in the water.
Yeah, definitely agree there. Bailey, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm even though they lost today, I've been very encouraged, especially by some of the people coming out of the pen. Like, Schreiber looked fantastic today, as did who else came in after him?
Gonsalves.
Gonsalves looked great. Brazier did his job. Roldes did his job. Valdez is just Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. One day it's fantastic. One, it's five runs in an inning. I think that's why he keeps going back down to I was almost going to say Pawtucket. Down to Worcester. So I was encouraged by some of the pieces that I've been seeing and how they've been performing really well. What let me down huge today was that this could have been a blowout for the Red Sox. Like, regardless of, you know, Valdez giving up five runs, there were multiple opportunities where we had second and third. And, you know, Jack Lopez is just completely overmatched. I don't care if he had a double today, in a, like, double at the wrong time. I think Araúz is still overmatched, even though he's had a couple of clutch home runs. That's great. If anything, seeing Travis Shaw actually play really well is super encouraging, too. We could almost, again, a lot of bad luck. Like, you know, Cleveland had a lot of bloop hits. Like, Carter Crawford, I think, pitched better than indicative of how the line looks. Almost had a home run by inches from Shaw that would have, at that time, tied the game or brought us within one. So there's a lot of bad luck, too. And, of course, COVID, even more bad luck. So you just have situations where you have Jack Lopez and Jonathan Araúz up where you wouldn't have that if we were healthy. But despite that, took the series. Have been playing really well, took two from the best team in the American League, and we also lost on the best day to lose because literally everybody else lost. We're only waiting on Seattle to lose. And then would have been great to pick up, and then we would have been in the first wild card spot, but to still just be a half game behind, I think it's really encouraging, especially we've got great pitching matchups.
I need to interrupt you for a quick second here. I just looked up the score. Arizona tied it in the seventh.
Good.
It's 3-3.
Good.
I definitely agree with everything you're saying there, and we'll go over the whole, like we do, we'll go over each game of the series and whatnot. But I've been encouraged by the starting pitch, and even I'll say it like Ed usually says it, Hook. Even Hook pitched well.
Yeah.
Even though he only went five innings, that's because he can't see the lineup third.
That's
time.
What's happening. Yeah.
But it is what it is. Ivaldi literally said, all right, Sale went out there, he threw six innings. E-Rod went out there, he threw six plus innings. I'm going to go out there and be like, fuck both of you. I'm going to go six and third. So he goes six and a third inning. He had, I believe he threw 98 pitches.
That's the problem is when he hits that 90, he starts to get a little shaky, which is a little unfortunate because he pitched better than his line too, I think.
So Ivaldi ended up throwing 98 pitches, six and a third innings. He actually deserved better than what he got. He didn't get. He got a no decision. Ottavino comes out. He ends up. Well, Ottavino has been overworked.
Been overworked, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're missing three key bullpen arms, like it's just bound to happen. It's he's like one of like the two dudes that Cora can trust, like while Barnes, Taylor, and Salamura are out.
Right. So, we got some issues with the overworking, obviously with Ottavino, situations like, I don't know, he's brought like Richards up, got him warmed up in the pen, getting him up and warming up and not bringing him in. That's been a little weird. Today was one of those situations where I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand why you didn't put in Richards.
Yeah.
You warmed up Whitlock as well. So I didn't understand that. Like, you're warming up Whitlock, you're warming up Richards, and then you throw out Valdez. I understand that it could have been like, hey, if you got the lead or whatever. But it was multiple games this series that they had Richards step up and warm up in the pen, and he just never.
Yeah, it was
utilized. Richards has been so good in the pen. Unbelievable in the pen.
It's been incredible. Like, one earned run every time he's been out there. Like, that's incredible.
I'm serious. I can't wait for my Richards jersey to come in.
Oh, you got a Richards jersey?
I got me a Richards jersey.
There you go. Hey, they may pick up that option if he keeps pitching this well. Be a great pen.
$10 million for a pen?
Yeah, that's actually not much.
I mean, if you're getting a point, like, 0.86 ERA out of the pen.
Yeah, like that's an elite person out of the pen. Gladly give you $10 million.
All right, so I wanna actually give Isaac a shout out. I ended up calling for a sweep. I want to say I didn't watch any of the game until the fifth inning, which is when they started scoring. And I'd like to like pat myself on the back for that one, thinking that I had something to do with that. But Isaac had them winning the first two games and losing the third game. He called it. Ed had a reverse. He had them losing and then losing the first two and winning the third. And he seems to have that luck where he's like, he'll say like, oh, they're going to lose the first two, which he wants them to. He's actually thinking they're going to win. Mm. So they were both technically correct. And I was so shout out to Isaac. Shout out to Ed, both of them being right with the series. Not like we get anything out of that except the joy of knowing that we were right.
I'm correct points.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You get the I am correct. Let's talk a little bit about Tristan Casas and Jake Groom. Tristan Casas is an absolute fucking monster down in Double A.
Five home runs.
Crazy. Five home runs and 11 RBIs in 2 days, three games. He had there was a doubleheader and yeah, he's just fucking mashing the ball down there. He's going to be a Triple A. I would love to see them bring him up to Triple A before the end of the season so that he can start.
Yeah.
He's like the third youngest player in his league, and he's just bullying everyone around him.
Like, right, honestly. Like he's doing it at Triple A. I would love to see him come up too, but I just don't know if they're going to do it. That's the only thing. But I mean, he could easily just start next season at Triple A.
Yeah, I understand that he can. I mean, what do you got, a month left? Not even a little less.
Yeah,
than a month
I'm not
left.
Sure of how many less games they play.
So he's got whatever. I mean, if they bring him up, they bring him up. They don't bring him up, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But I do think that he should be in AAA by next year. Maybe they'll start him off. Maybe they'll start him off in AA for like a couple weeks and see that he's destroying the ball again.
Yeah.
Or maybe they give him a call and say, hey, why don't you come to spring training?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts at AAA in 2022, and then we have York starting at AA in 2022. And then who knows, York could be in AAA by the end of 2022 if he keeps hitting like this.
Yes, dude.
It's insane.
Our infield in like 2 or 3 years is going to be fucking ridiculous, like yeah. Honestly.
Yeah, we like forget about Blaze Jordan, and he's still hitting really, really well.
He's in the Florida Complex League, right?
No, he got bumped
going
up.
Going to high A ball.
Yeah, right? To just A.
Just A. Yeah. Oh, because he's low in low A. Ball. Yeah, low A. Yeah, you're right.
Whatever. I mean, we've got these fucking beasts down in the farm right now, and once they come up and you know, they're going to end up getting some trouble and whatnot, looking lost a little bit when they get brought up to the majors, hopefully. And they're going to figure it out. And I can't imagine that Casas isn't going to figure out how to hit pitching. And also, like, I remember listening to one of his interviews, and he's like, the Yankees aren't going to like me.
Yeah, no, he already hates the Yankees, so it's fantastic.
He's going to be a monster.
I truly believe that he and York aren't going to have any trouble. Like, if you get to say, like, I think there are sure things, like, I feel like York and Casas are the only ones that I would bet the house money on that they're going to be very successful at the major league level.
Yeah, I mean, if they keep playing the way they are in the farm and they bring that up to the major league level, you know, got to wait to see. Also, Jake Groom made his debut in Double A Portland. That's where Casas is. Mm-hmm. He went five innings. He gave up two hits, zero earned runs, zero walks, and 10 punches.
Yeah, he had a great, great start. I'm finally glad that we're seeing what we drafted pretty much out of him. I understand injuries and then losing to the whole of 2020. This is like his first actual healthy full season in pro ball, and I'm very excited to be seeing it finally.
Yeah, it's fun to see. I've actually paid more attention in this year to the farm than I have any of the other years.
It's very exciting this year.
And it has been exciting. It's been very exciting. And I can't wait to actually see what these kids are going to bring to the major league level.
Yeah.
Argyle, you got anything?
Not really. I mean, just echoing what you guys say. I mean, the future of the Red Sox is so unbelievably bright.
Yeah.
It's just so fun to watch, and I just cannot wait. Kaz is going to be a monster when he gets up here. He's just going to murder baseballs.
Yeah, like everybody Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, everybody wants Freddie Freeman. We could have, like, Freddie Freeman 2.0 at, like, a hundredth of the price.
I don't think he'll be a Freddie Freeman 2.0 because Freddie Freeman doesn't smash the balls like Casas is going to, like 3,000 fucking miles. He has some good swings, but he's not going to fucking mash
Freeman
the ball.
Doesn't send them like fucking 480 feet.
Right.
Just on the reg.
I mean, if he's Freeman with power, like, holy crap, you want that. But he models his game after Votto, which is crazy.
I wanted to actually transition over to the Nesson situation. So this past series, we got the pleasure of hearing Monaco call the games for the first two games. And I have to say, it was an absolute pleasure listening to Nesson. And this was the first time this year that I've actually enjoyed listening to Nesson. And then OB comes back, and guess what? They lose.
The Dave O'Brien hate agenda is on full swing, and
I didn't realize that so many people were actually anti him until, like, I was seeing it all over Twitter. Like, truthfully.
Wait, so you like OB?
No, I hate him. I just didn't realize that there was so much.
I was about to say, where the fuck are we?
No, I was going to say, I didn't realize there was so much hate for him in general until I saw it, especially this, like, series, you know?
O'Brien is just so, I can't tolerate him.
He's boring, and he talks nonsense.
Well, he's just such a nothing broadcaster. Like, just, like, where's the entertainment value?
I felt bad for Grant. He was watching some football game yesterday or the day before, and he's like, yeah, I turned this on, and I heard this voice, and I was like, fuck, that sounds familiar. And then you see OB calling the game, and it's like, fuck, God, can you go away?
Yeah, I don't know how O'Brien gets so much national, like, to cover like, I think he does basketball too. We know he does football. Like, what is it?
Yeah, college football.
He's like it's like an even worse Joe Buck. He's like the off-brand Joe Buck. It's very tragic.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I just cover a million sports. I'm just really bad at all of them.
I'm not a fan of Joe Buck. Even though he's called, he's in the intro.
Yeah. The thing with Buck that I just feel like there are times where he gets excited. I like some of his calls. I think he's hysterical on Brockmire. He plays like a pretty much exaggerated version of himself, and he's a giant dick. So I really think, like, we need more of, like, that kind of Joe Buck, like the kind of fun Joe Buck. Like, he exists. He's in there somewhere.
He is real. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It exists. I miss Jerry.
No, yeah.
Definitely. Dude, same here, dude. I hope he's recovering well.
Yeah.
This man has so many bouts with cancer, and he's overcome them all, so.
I every time I turn around, every year, it's a new thing with him, and it sucks. Yeah. Because he's one of the most exciting – he's one of the more exciting reasons, like, to listen to Nessa and watch Nessa. And – I have to admit, when Eck first came on as a color commentator, I hated him, and I absolutely love him now.
He's so funny.
Love the fact that he's like, yeah, you know, like, oh, that was the guy that that took my wife.
Like, yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
What? Yeah. Where and you're like, oh, you're from? Just coming out with all of the skeletons.
I like that he'll just, like, openly shit on pitchers he thinks are terrible, or, like,
I
he just hates their stuff.
I like that, and I don't like I when it. You know, David Price gets all pissy. One, he's not talking about you. I get it's your teammate, but, like, in fairness, that was an atrocious, like, rehab start that Eddie had. So would you expect somebody not to be like, ugh? And also, like, Eck is in the Hall of Fame. He's done it all. He'll talk about his highs and his lows. Like, you're getting a very, like, person that, like, I just really like that. I like the honesty and the openness of Eck.
Dude, anytime Yarbrough is on the mound for the Rays and Eck is commentating is a fucking comedy act. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Like, how's this guy getting people out?
Could you imagine what he would say? Didn't he call a game this weekend? He called a game this weekend.
I think
didn't
he did.
Pretty,
did he?
Yeah, pretty sure he did. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he called a game, but I don't know if I saw him call Parker. I'm going to bring this up. Parker from the fucking Indians is the absolute worst fucking, like, he has the worst, like, setup. Like,
oh, there's all the toe tap
fucking jitter shit. Yeah. It's like, fuck you, dude. Just throw the goddamn ball.
Oh, I don't know. I think, what is it? Romano might be worse, where he like sits down before
he doesn't
like...
do that anymore, though.
Oh, he doesn't? Oh, I don't know. Because that was weird as shit.
That was funny. It was like he was like actually dropping dick on the mound.
Yeah.
Well, I think what happened was Guerrero Jr. Was actually fucking with him one time. Like, he went to go do the squat, and Junior fucking did the squat with him.
Oh, God, that's hysterical.
Like, he was off the bag at first, kind of, like, more towards second base. And, like, you could see fucking Vladdy just sitting there fucking squatting with him. And, yeah, I haven't seen him do it for a while, actually. I had a problem because I thought it was Tampa Bay. I thought it was their pitcher. Because if you notice, they both have like the similar body structure, and they both have the beards. Like they're closers. I don't know who Tampa Bay is.
Oh, is it Kittredge?
I think so.
Yeah.
They have the beards and everything. And I was like, is this the fucker that squats or you know? And then once I saw the Vladdy video, I was like, that's how I'll remember from now on that it's Romano on the Blue Jays, not the fucking on the Tampa Bay Rays.
I've just always wondered what those things, like, how do you believe that that helps you throw better?
Well, look at how fucking Kimbrel does it. He, like, puts his arm onto the side. Oh, I think
it's weird as shit, too. Like, it's like, it looks like a condor. Like,
when I first saw it, I called him a pterodactyl.
I love that shit, dude. Because, like, when he was in his prime, that's a scare tactic. That's like a fucking intimidation ploy.
That's different than Parker. Parker just does like it's this jitter thing where, like, he like taps his feet like 1,000 times. And I don't understand how that's not a fucking balk. Honestly, like,
for reasons.
I understand he's not like throwing back or whatever, but it's like, come on, dude, somebody's got to fucking do something here. Like, the guy takes like 20 minutes to fucking set up.
I can't wait till they implement a pitch clock.
We'll get rid of all these dumb rituals that some pitchers do before they have to throw a ball.
Hate how slow some are. Like, David Price bothered me with like how fucking slow he was.
Well, that's how those pitchers grew into the game and whatnot. They didn't have a pitch clock. I mean, you got kids down in the minors right now. And you see it with Tanner Houck. He pitches fast. Yeah. And not even just him. Like, look at Sale. Sale's always too.
Dude, for years, one of the reasons Chris Sale is my favorite pitcher is, like, that dude just fucking moves along. He keeps it going. Like, he keeps it up-tempo.
It's because he also doesn't shake off, too. So, like, he can just be like, all right, you putting down, and I'm throwing. And I like that.
He's like, my stuff's better than, like, whatever. Just fucking tell me what to throw. I'll, like, blow it past this nerd.
That's why I think he really needs a good catcher, because it's like that catcher is 100% calling the game because he's never shaking him off.
It's like, change up? Fucking, like, on 1-1? Yeah, sure, why not?
That's why I love Sandy because of that reason.
Yeah, he called a great game.
No matter what anybody says, his offense was fucking terrible. I don't give a shit.
Once every fifth day?
Exactly. Every fifth day, he's up there, he's catching Sale. That's all that fucking mattered. He was able to call a game. I hate these people that are like, oh, we shouldn't have personal catchers. Fuck you, yes, we should.
Oh, especially my God,
especially if our catchers are getting our pitchers to throw better. Plawecki fucking catches Eovaldi better than Vasquez does.
Oh, yeah. Wong has caught him the best, I think, for sure.
Yep, and that's because they had – I mean, Wong lives, like, right around the corner from me. So they're out there fucking throwing the ball during the COVID shutdown.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing more Wong going into next year. I really liked how he looked in like that very limited time where he got to catch. He just looks like he belongs here. He looks like he belongs to be a major leaguer.
A great defensive catcher for sure. It's always going to be about the bat, but if you can put a 1-8 together, that's lethal. I really don't care if Connor Wong is hitting ninth and isn't the best offensive catcher, really, because you need him for the defense.
Well, if you're going to pick one position to have like terrible offense, it'd be catcher.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah.
Look at Sandy Leon. Yeah. I mean, we did that in 2018 with him.
Yeah. We and it worked out more than fine.
A bad offensive catcher, and he called a great game. Mm-hmm. But speaking of why, he was called up, and then, like the very next day, he was sent back down. Yeah. So, like, a lot of these people are, you know, we've talked about this before. Hogdale and Ed and I, we talked about optioning players and whatnot when it came to Tanner Houck and how he wasn't actually sent to AAA. Yeah. But, I mean, Wong I mean, they were in Boston. Worcester's like, what, 30, 45 minutes away, yeah. Not even. So he probably got sent back down to AAA. Or he could have been on the taxi squad, whichever. But he got optioned back down. And I saw somebody posted up on Twitter. They were like, do you think Wong ever unpacks his bags when he goes up to Boston?
Right. His bags just travel later because he's like, you know, probably not even going to be staying.
All right, coach, do I need to bring my my catching equipment? No, nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're good. Play.
All right. You just need to be here so that we have that person on the squad just in case if we need like a pinch runner or something like that. So, no, you're not going to need your equipment. And well, guess what? You're going back.
Yeah, but I think next year it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with the catching position. I'm going to be intrigued to see if they pick up that option or if they just go in a completely different direction.
Now, how much is this option for? Is that $8 million?
I think it's seven. I mean, seven, eight, about the same. But I think it might be a $7 million option.
I know Vasquez had like a redemption arc in like with one game where he was like really good. It was a great game from him, but like I still wouldn't pick up that option. I'd go with the cheaper option.
Because you could get like Yan Gomes for better offense, better defense for like less than I think what $7 or $8 million. Honestly, you could do that.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Especially if you're trying to just get a bridge to either a Ronaldo Hernandez or Wong. Like, is Wong become a super utility? Does he become like a better version of a Brock Holt? And you hope that Hernandez can catch? Because it's always been defense for Hernandez. It's really never been about whether or not he's going to be able to hit, you know?
All right, so his option is, mm-hmm. you were right, it was seven.
It is seven, okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to pay somebody that's giving you zero offense and his defense has been shaky and his pitch calling's been questionable.
I see them buying him out. 250,000. Yeah, buy him out.
Yeah.
Buy him out, maybe offer him a 1 year like cheaper deal. Whatever.
Yeah, it could happen. Like the way they did, you know, unfortunately we brought back Perez, but we brought him back for cheaper.
I honestly, you know, so I was actually pissed off about that. And now that I get that, like I understand the whole situation and I mm-hmm. understand what happened and whatnot. Like, I don't think bringing him back was a bad idea at the time.
Yeah.
At the time. I mean, he was one of our more reliable pitchers in 2020. He didn't miss a start. Where every single one of our starters just ended up missing starts, even Eovaldi, you know. So every 5 days he was out there. So you didn't know what you were going to get out of Erod this year. You didn't know what was going to happen with Sale.
Not a question. I mean, there was a lot of question marks going into the whole of the American League East with their pitching. Because outside of like Gerrit Cole, it was even question marks for the Yankees. You know, and it still is because Kluber's not good.
Speaking of, the Yankees lost a series to the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
God, that's so funny. I'm just going to start it off. Yankee fans, if you're listening here, yes, the Red Sox lost. It got swept by the Orioles the very first series of the year.
Yeah.
That was because we were still trying to find ourselves. It wasn't in the middle.
Shit happens.
In the middle of a postseason race. But holy shit, how do you lose? I believe they've lost seven games to the Baltimore Orioles this year.
The Orioles have had more success against the Yankees than any other baseball team. Like
it's crazy. And they honestly could have swept too. Like the Orioles could have swept that series.
Yeah, because they had that game that went into the 11th or whatever, or the 10th.
Like it could have been a sweep.
It really could have been. That's so fucking sad.
And, you know, you get these Yankee fans that are like, they're like, oh, you guys blew a 10-game lead. We played our really bad baseball at the same time that they played their best baseball. And the fact is, they're still just a half-game lead. We actually technically have more wins right now. It's all in the loss cone. Also, so the just thing is, just you're talking all this shit. It's like, shut up.
Also, just to point out, while the Red Sox were playing that awful brand of baseball, they still swept the Orioles. And that was the worst they played the entire year. And they
and
swept
the Red
Orioles.
Sox were terrible. We're not even beating around the bush. Terrible baseball for a solid month. And the Yankees could barely overcome them while going on a 13-game win streak. I'm sorry. Like, to me, if watching how badly the Red Sox played and how great the Yankees have been played, I would expect the Yankees to like be kicking the shit out of them. And now it's like a half game. That's nothing.
Yeah, and the other thing is like, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a Yankee fan at work, And he was, I was like, oh, do you think that this was a bad time for the Yankees to get on a hot streak? And he was like, there's never a bad time to be on a hot streak. And I was like, now I kind of want to talk to him, and I can't wait to see him on Tuesday. And
be always
like,
hey, a bad man, time to go on a hot streak.
Hey, man, you guys just lost 2 of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles in September.
Yike.
Oh, that is a yike.
Dude, like, it's just – it's so funny because like they're about the Yankees are about a game or two away from their fans calling for Cashman to be fired because of how bad Rizzo's been and how like non of a factor Joey Gallo has been. It's gonna
Joey
happen.
Gallo being a non fact, like the Rizzo thing, I was just like, Rizzo's whatever. I'm like, he could be great for them, he could be terrible for them. He's been more terrible. Gallo, I'm like genuinely shocked with how badly he has been playing because he's always been an OBP person. Whether or not his average is like 215, he gets on base. He also never grounded into double plays, and now he's doing it on the regular. Like, we're talking 8 for a career, and now he's been just grounded into him. So I'm like, I'm not concerned because he's in pinstripes, but I'm like, what's going on?
What's in the air in, like, New York? It's pretty like, honestly.
Thinking that Rizzo – Rizzo is batting, like, 140-something with the Yankees or it's something like really that. Bad. And Gallo's been – his yearly batting average has been under 200. And it's just – I expected more. But can we – I'd like to talk about Heaney.
Only owns us somehow.
The Heen dog, the absolute legend.
This guy absolutely fucking sucks. But I'm not gonna fucking deny the fact that he definitely twirled the fucking gym against the Red Sox
twice. Two times. Did it. I had
the
a
Red Sox
do it in Anaheim.
They always like shit the bed against bad pitchers. Like,
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's so fun. Like, I had a feeling like today with Plesac, it was just going to be like when the first inning. I wasn't watching the game, but I'm sitting there like reading the messages coming through the chat, and I'm like, well, fuck me, this is gonna be a bad game. I was like, do I dare go home to watch this game and watch the Red Sox shit themselves, or do I just go by what they're saying? I went home, I watched it. But yeah, it's Haney. The fucking Yankees decided to throw him out. I think it was in the 7th inning.
Yeah, I think so, because he did get demoted to the bullpen. Except unlike demotions to the bullpen, Garrett Richards has been fantastic. Andrew Haney has not.
You know, Perez has been fucking terrible on the pen. Yeah. He was just like, yeah, but he was like, he was okay with it, you know? And Richard's like, no, motherfucker, I'm a starter. I could throw 100-something pitches. And he's pissed. And he's showing that he's pissed. But he might be actually biting himself.
He might be finding something really good. Yeah, like, he could be like an Andrew Miller type. Like, those are of such value. And look at the contract that the Yankees gave Andrew Miller. A shitload of money. Like, you know, you value those type of people.
Yeah, I don't know. I could definitely see Richards doing something like that. He just seems like he's such a head case, though.
Yeah, that's why
such
it's
a fucking drama queen. Like, honestly,
I think that's been his big problem. It's because it's like what Isaac said. Isaac said he possesses the stuff to be successful. It's just like he was always getting in his head about things. I think he was reliant on the tack, but was thinking that he couldn't be successful without it. And now he's going to the pen and he's realizing he can be successful without it. So, like, I don't know. Like, who is he? Is he just really great in the pen? Or could he transition back to being a successful starter? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's so weird, though. Like, because, like, he was a spin rate merchant. Like, that's just, like, that was his whole brand.
Oh, my God. Like, 100%.
And his spin rate is back up. Like, it's... He's hitting some curveballs like 3,000 RPM. I'm like, holy shit. How is he doing this without sticky stuff? Like, how is he doing it?
Figuring it out. Really.
Have you seen that dude's fucking hands, though?
Yeah.
Have you seen his fingers? His fingers are like fucking 18 inches long.
I know. I like pick up a baseball and I have like tiny hands. And then I'm just like, what is it? Like, you've seen like what it looks like in Glasnow's hand.
Oh, my God.
It's like, it's like a fucking ping pong ball in his hand.
Yeah, you're like, oh, my God, your hands are so big.
So, yeah, I imagine he just, like, he probably, like, went back and looked at, like, what he did before he had spider tech. He's like, okay, well, how did I used to grip the ball? Like, okay, like,
now,
okay,
really
so I did this.
That
that's
he was using spider tech, or do we believe the fact that it was sunscreen rosin?
I think he may have been a sunscreen rosin guy.
Could have been either, honestly. Who knows?
Yeah, because, like, Glasnow said that he was a sun, like, he himself is a sunscreen rosin guy. And, like, who knows? Like, I don't know.
And Glasnow's hands are so big, like you said, like it's believable that his spin rate could be that high without spider tech. Same with Richards.
Yeah, for truth. And it's just really about grip. I think that's why they need to come up with something universal that can really help these pitchers when it comes to grip.
I think they should go back and let them use the sunscreen.
Yeah, like who the hell cares? It's proven that it doesn't give you the competitive edge that something like the spider tech did.
You know? They literally just do what like Japan does and like put that little sticky spot on like the logo of the ball. Like just
do that. They have their own like tack. So why don't you? Yeah, that's a good point.
Just get your own state sponsored version.
MLB owns who's the baseball?
Is it Rawlings still?
I think it is Rawlings. Yeah, you're so. Right. MLB owns Rawlings.
Yeah, they have access to all that shit. Like it's all completely up to them.
Absolutely, and I think that should be something they do.
Yeah, 100% agree there. All right, so I want to go ahead and start off talking about the series. Mm-hmm. So we already know that the Red Sox took the first two of – they took two of three of the series. Fantastic outing by Eovaldi. Good outing by Hauk, or Hook, yep. As Ed would say.
The Hook.
And then I don't know. I don't put this loss on Crawford at all.
No, a lot of and you can't say like they score five runs, they got timely hitting towards the end, but yeah, the offense really needed to step up in those earlier innings.
Because there's like three different times where they had like runners on either second or third or first and second. They just didn't do anything.
Plesac like allowed them to put the game out of reach and they just didn't capitalize on it.
Well, they were 3 for 18 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah. Yeah.
They left 12 on base.
That's terrible. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. So that's why you lose. And putting in Crawford into sort of an impossible situation.
Yeah. So let's start talking about the first game. Jared Duran ended up being placed on the COVID IL. It wasn't announced right away that he had COVID. It was announced later in the game. Schwarber ended up starting the bottom of the first with a homer. I love this guy. This guy is
fucking. I want him next year. I really do.
He belongs in Boston, dude. He just looks like he belongs here. Like he's just the type of guy that is perfect for this this city and for
this organization. Out a way to keep him somehow.
You know who he actually reminds me of, and it's not just because of the number he's wearing on the back. he kind of reminds me of Moreland. Mm.
Just a way better Mitch Moreland.
Yeah, you're definitely. Right. Like, a more disciplined, like, I love Mitch. We all love Mitch.
I totally get it. Yeah, I love Mitch. Like,
Who doesn't love Mitch? Red Sox. But for sure, like, that seems about right.
I have to say, I just noticed this last night. I was watching the Sox and Two last night. After I watched the game, I ended up watching the Sox and Two. And I saw he did the check. I was
they're doing it.
Are they no longer doing the wave? I haven't seen them do the wave in a while.
Yeah, it's like they've transitioned to like check, and I'm like, what are we checking? That like
wasn't there Verdugo today? He did like a row in the boat kind of thing.
Did he?
Yeah, he
was
did.
It a row in the boat or was it rocking a baby?
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah,
because I know lately he's been doing the little rocking the baby.
That would make sense. I didn't get the good camera angle. Like I just saw like his arms moving.
So. Yeah, then if his arms were moving, he was probably doing the whole rock thing that he's been doing.
He's got the dad energy.
Yeah. Oh my god, once he got over those injuries, this is everything we could have wanted from Alex Verdugo. This is the exact player that I knew he was capable of being, and he's only going to get better.
Well, the paternity leave was like his IL stint that he needed for his hammy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, his girl has a baby, gives him a little rest, then he comes back and he's just slaying. I love it.
I'm loving it. He's had some clutch hits this season. Oh, yeah. He ended up starting the comeback against the Yankees when Herman had the no hitter going against them. He hit the double out into the right field. Yeah, it was a fun game. I think it was the eighth inning where he hit that ball, and they came back and won in the ninth.
Yeah, that was ended up a good game.
Going back to Schwarber though, like I was just thinking about how like it just seems like he has total command of the strike zone. Like and every time that he's up.
There's sometimes where he's up and it's like, I know everybody's going to strike out and swing every bad pitch every once in a while or whatnot. There's sometimes where he strikes out and I'm just like, oh, that was a bad, bad pitch to swing at. What are we doing here? And I just kind of remember it's like, shit happens.
Yeah, but there's so many times where he's like 0-2 and then he'll just spit on like two great breaking balls that are out of the zone. He's like, nah, Fuck that shit. Terrible.
Yeah, I think, my face. I think the reason that you get upset is because he usually doesn't do it, like, right. at all. Exactly. So when he does it, you're just like, oh, what are you doing? Like, you're exactly. better than this, you know?
It's kind of like watching JD lately. JD has just been...
What is going on? I know we had a moment, but like...
I have no idea what's going on with JD, but, like, I think we need to stop calling him Jumbo Dong and just start calling him just Dookie.
Just dismal.
He's been fucking pretty bad lately.
Yeah.
He looks lost at the plate, and it's like, I remember people were talking about Giancarlo Stanton. How do you get him out? Throw a slider away. Well, that's exactly what they're doing to JD.
Yeah, it's interesting with what's going on with him. I think it'll be really interesting. I'd say 99% he's definitely picking up his option. Like, he's not opting out, but it'd be interesting if he did. Because I think it would open up quite a bit more for the Red Sox if he did. But I don't see it happening.
If he walks, there's no reason for the Red Sox not to pick up Schwarber.
Oh, you have to pick up Schwarber. You pick up Schwarber, and then I think you go and get another bat, too.
Yeah, like, I don't mind that. Yeah. I mean, but you got Schwarber who can actually play left field.
Like, yeah, even if JD, like, you know, he ends up staying, I still think you pay Schwarber, just eat JD for a year.
Oh,
and,
I
like,
would
afterwards,
too.
You know, you have Schwarber.
To go right into that DH. It's like a built-in. Yeah, I think it's honestly kind of too perfect. Like, it makes too much sense that I'm like, I want it to happen so much.
Yes.
That's the answer. Yes.
Yes. Yes. No other.
The power of yes.
I want
Schwarber back, and anybody who doesn't want Schwarber or thinks that picking up Schwarber was a bad idea, you can just go kick rocks.
Man, how many people look like absolute fucking goons right now?
I had a block.
Time did nothing at the deadline.
Two idiots, and I don't really like blocking people because these two idiots were still on the Rizzo. Like, I don't care. I don't get it. I don't care that his defense is that much better than Bobby. One, Bobby's been better offensively.
Two, I mean, Rizzo's also been making some real shit plays at first base lately.
Also, who gives a shit about defense at first base? No one. Like, when you're talking about offense to defensive value, like, what matters more? It's offense every day of the week at first base.
100%. 100%.
Who picks up a first baseman being like, oh, yeah, dude.
Poppy was a great first baseman.
We signed
I think the best part of all of this is that it was clear, whether or not it's like 100%, I would say it's clear that Cashman overpaid for Rizzo to keep Rizzo away from the Red Sox. And then Chaim was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to get the better bat. I'm going to get it way cheaper, and I'm going to figure out where the hell to play him. So thanks.
Well, yeah, Cashman did Chaim a favor because, like, okay, well, I'll just, you know, get the better player.
And supposedly Cashman's liked Schwarber for a while, so he also went out and got, like, the player that, you know, Cashman's sort of been into. I also didn't realize Schwarber was this good. Like, and I think it's because I really wasn't, like, I know we dealt with a lot of injuries, wasn't watching much Nationals, wasn't watching much, like, Cubs games. I was aware of him, aware of his power, but I just don't think I was ever aware of how great of an on-base person he is.
Because all you heard, like, when he was in Chicago is just how hot and cold he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, ever since he's gone to Boston, the dude, like, he's just been great. He's just been raking, like, and when he isn't, like, you know, mashing dingers, he's just getting on base because he walks three times a game.
I love it. Yep, check.
Check. All right, let's move on. So, like I said, Schwarber ended up hitting a homer to dead center. It seems like every single one of his home runs for the Red Sox so far have been to dead center.
Yeah, he crushes them.
The bottom of the first, J.D. Martinez ended up striking out on an 84.7-mile-per-hour changeup, which J.D. in 2018 would have fucking crushed it.
Yeah,
pretty cool for Jack Lopez, who got called up because of the COVID situation. He got his first hit as a major leaguer in his debut at Fenway Park.
It was a good hit.
It was a good hit. It was a double. Mm-hmm. So I always enjoy watching somebody make their debut and get their first, you know, strikeout or first hit or whatever. You know, where, you know, Michael Chavis made his debut. Unfortunately, he was down on the trop. And he got his first hit down there, but like this dude has been Jack Lopez. He's known Alex Cora since he was like a teenager. Mm-hmm. He's been in the farm for like 9 years or whatever it is, and he finally gets his call up because of an unfortunate situation. And I believe he made his debut at the Trop as well, right? He made his debut at the Trop.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, he didn't get the hit until Fenway.
He didn't get his hit. And what's better than getting your hit on your debut is getting your hit on your debut at your home stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's unfortunate when you have somebody and you get happy for them, but it's also unfortunate that you're like, oh, you're up because of the situation. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So, you guys remember the Renfro almost grand slam?
Yeah.
It was literally like 2 feet away from being.
Oh my god! I was like, this is gonna be the dinkiest grand slam, but I would very much.
Give it a fight. If it was against us, I would have been like, fucking move it, move it further. Like, I'm tired of this shit. But he ended up almost hitting a grand slam.
Oh my god!
And it was a foul ball, and then he struck out. Which was so shitty. So, like I said earlier, Evaldi ended up throwing 98 pitches. He gave up 2 homers, mm-hmm. 1 to Ramirez on a solo shot and a 2-run to Austin Hedges. Austin Hedges has literally been shitting Red Sox this year.
I'm so glad we don't have to see him or Ramirez again. Like, Ramirez honestly is great, so, like, I get it. But Austin Hedges, like, fuck you.
What's it with, like, shitty catchers just bending the Red Sox over? This is like this... whenever we play the Blue Jays, whoever their backup catcher is, always just like shoves his dick down our throat, and it's just like, why do you do this? It makes no sense.
He got arrested for jerking off in their spring training facility. What? Yeah, and like he was in his truck. Yeah, he got. Oh, I gotta look this up. I gotta.
Have a house. Do it at your house.
Blue Jays backup catcher.
He likes to live his life on the edge, bro.
That's the way he gets it up. He's like, I'm gonna do it in the parking lot
at Reese McGuire.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yeah, hold on. I'll read because I remember for like the first like couple of the series we faced them. I'd bring it up. I was like, so Toronto Blue Jays catcher Reese McGuire is facing a misdemeanor exposure charge after an incident last week in Dunedin. This was back in February.
Oh, no.
McGuire was arrested for exposure of sexual organs. I've never heard that before, but on Friday afternoon and given a notice to appear at a Clearwater, Florida court on March 16th, according to...
I gotta
to
see what this guy looks like.
Well, I guess that sounds a lot more official than, yeah, he had his dick out.
Yeah, you have to say, yeah.
Officers were called to a public parking lot for a person seen sitting inside an SUV exposing himself. The sheriff's office said in a statement, adding the subject was cooperative and did not deny the allegations. So it's like, how do you deny that you were caught beating off in your fucking SUV, bro? Like, do you not have a house down there?
This looks like a guy that would do this.
Yeah, it's like the officer on the scene reported that his penis was very small. Like, I wish they would have added that one.
Oh my god. But yeah, like, and to get caught doing it too, it's like that scene in Hall Pass where he's like beating off in the car because that's where he lost his virginity as a teenager. So that's like his place to go.
Oh no!
And yeah, the dude just like rolls up.
Oh my god!
Yeah, every time we face the Blue Jays and he's catching, I'm always like, yeah, this was a guy that got arrested for beating off in his SUV outside of like a grocery store. That's where it was. It was.
Oh, it wasn't even like the spring training facility. No, he just like got a bag of grapes and was like, oh yeah. Like, what are you doing? That is so odd.
How unfortunate to have like that tied to your name. Like, yeah, right. I beat off in front of a grocery store in my car, bro.
Like, that's you really legacy. Couldn't wait to get home. Clearly, you like went to get something at the store, and then you were just like, "Nah, I can't. I can't wait the 5 minutes."
He got a grapefruit.
Yeah. Oh my god.
He saw like a box of Nature Valley butter, and he's like, "Oh,
this gets me going." Oh my god.
All right, moving on.
Moving on from Reese McGuire's penis escapades.
I don't know if Reese McGuire actually has a penis. We just know that he was caught with indecent exposure.
Sexual organs.
Yeah, so I mean, that kind of makes it odd. Like, you talk about a sexual organ, usually it's like, oh, his penis, but it's like.
Maybe they were like, we're not writing penis.
It's Johnson Journey.
All right, speaking of Johnsons, Aroos ended up having a wall ball double. Mm-hmm. And my boy, Danny Santana, was in the game.
Some good ABs. He's been having some good ABs.
God, how the fuck is this guy still on the team?
I don't know, man. But, you know,
but I don't think he's going away. I really don't. No,
he's definitely not. Absolutely. If he's made it this far,
yeah,
I have to commend him. And I'm actually going to talk good about Santana. Santana has actually looked pretty good since coming back off the IL. He's walked a few times. He's made
to
some...
only get walloped with COVID. This guy can't catch a break either.
He cannot.
Oh my God. I don't want to talk bad about the COVID ill. So, but yeah, he did catch COVID.
Oh, well, hopefully not. I think there may be, he keeps testing negative. So he can literally just have a cold, which is so strange.
Well, it's not strange that you have a cold. I mean,
it's strange that you would get the cold while everybody else is getting COVID and that you don't have COVID, that you just have a cold.
That would be Santana.
That's just weird.
It would just be Santana. So Aroos comes up at the bottom of the seventh. He gets a wall ball double. Santana goes to third. Schwarber hits a double into the gap in center field. The Indians intentionally walk Verdugo to get to a right-handed hitter who was Renfro. And Renfro sees 8 pitches, fouled off 4, and hit a pitch.
Great.
And hit pitch 9 into the monster, making it 8-3. That was a fantastic at bat.
Yeah.
And he was actually really upset with himself that he fouled off that that last pitch before he hit the homer. Now, I want to talk about this the next thing. Ryan Brazier. I didn't realize that I know he's had a rough year. You know, he was on the IL. He ended up getting a comebacker to the head. Gave him a concussion.
Yeah, that was brutal. Whatnot.
That was brutal. But the thing that I didn't know about until that game, because I usually listen to WEEI while I watch the game. They were talking about how his father passed away this year.
Oh
that's horrible, dude.
So like everything that's been going on for him, he's on the injured list. Just like Renfro, his dad was his best friend, passed away. You know, so it sucks. But I was happy to see that he made his comeback during this game. He comes back into his first major league game of the season. And like I said, he had a rough year, but I don't know. I heard something about him having like some Kevlar like lining in his hat now.
Oh really? Oh, is he doing that?
I don't blame him at all. That's really smart.
Like I thought I heard it on the radio.
Maybe. I mean, why not? I mean, if you have to get approval, I believe, from Major League Baseball. So as long as he got the approval for it, go for it.
They should be doing that. The thing is like, in theory, but pitchers really should be wearing helmets. But I totally understand them not wanting to because it's a pain in the ass.
It would be tricky to pitch in one. Like, that's it. The guy, like, you know, the base coaches, that's simple. They can wear one. But, yeah, it would be kind of tricky to pitch with a helmet. But I get it.
Like, I get pitchers like, dude, it's uncomfortable and it'll get in my way. And the Players Association would never budge on it. And it's totally their choice. I totally understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, like, just, you know, in the sake of player safety, if a dude gets hit in the head with a line drive and dies on the field.
Yeah. Olerud. Olerud always wore the helmet on first. And he had to have approval from Major League Baseball to wear it.
All right. So let's move on. This game ended a little weird. Devers ended up at second.
Yeah.
Playing second for the first time in his career. Yeah. I don't know if it was his first time. I think it was.
I think it was.
Do you see how happy he was making plays there, though?
Yeah, he got the play.
He's styling.
And I actually ended the notes by saying that Mike Monaco is a better announcer than Dave O'Brien, and Nesson should hire him full time.
I would love to know when O'Brien's contract is up. Because I obviously have no frame of reference for that. Yeah. I don't know if it's posted online or anything like that. Because obviously they let Orsillo go because his contract was expiring and they're idiots. I want to know what Orsillo did to the head of like Nesson. Like, because it makes no sense.
Probably cucked him, let's be honest.
Or he's sleeping with his wife or something.
Don's such a mad lad. He'd do it.
Because I'm like, it made absolutely no sense. And then now Don's about as happy as you can be in San Diego. I mean, it's friggin' San Diego. Why would you not be happy? Like, even if that team was dog shit.
Isn't it crazy that the Padres might not make the playoffs?
I know. It's tough. But then they may sneak back in there because I'm pretty sure that Cincinnati's been playing poorly. So it's going to come down to Cincinnati, or it's going to come down to them. And then it's going to come down to either the Dodgers or the that's going to be a tough battle going to the end, if it's going to be Dodgers or Giants.
Dude, the NL playoffs this year is going to be such a bloodbath. There's so many good teams.
There's some great teams.
Like, I think the Brewers are so underrated. I think they're so dangerous.
Brewers are great. My mom joked coming into the season, be like, they're going to win the World Series. And I was like, pfft. And I'm like, oh, shit. Their pitching is so elite.
Like, dude, Burns and Woodruff is, like, as good a 1-2 as you're going to get
Hold the fuck up, man.
Oh, what does it say?
Wow. What? So this is back in 2015. Mm-hmm. Who is the chairman for the Red Sox?
Oh, that's what's his face?
Is that Warner or Kennedy?
Yes, no, Warner is the chairman because Kennedy's present.
So I want to punch Warner in the fucking face. This article says Red Sox chairman calls Dave O'Brien an upgrade over Don Arcelo.
Oh, you are an asshole. An upgrade? You also thought that, you know, he also thought Bill Cosby was a good guy. So I don't know if I really trust the judgment.
Not for anything. He's not the only person in the world that thought Cosby was a good guy.
He made so much money off of Cosby. The two of them were, like, making money off each other. Yeah, Warner's so rich. God. God, I want Warner's, like, filmography. It's insane.
I was trying to look it up while you guys were talking about, like, when his contract ends. I can't find anything.
Just don't know. So
I mean, they don't make that information public because they don't have to.
They should.
So it's 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So he's going into his sixth season, right? Because he did take over. I think 2015 was Orsillo's last, right?
Yep. So it's 16... 17,
18, 19, 20. Yeah, 21. 21. So he's in his sixth.
He's going to be in his seventh year next year. And I honestly think that Nesson should get their shit together because there's people that actually, you know, at Nesson on Twitter, like, we need to get rid of this guy. He's an asshole. It's like, he's Mike. And the thing is like,
great.
Monaco is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've said before, I like Ellis Burks, but he's very monotone. And he doesn't have, like, the excitement or whatever. Eckersley, I know you're not going to get him on an everyday basis. I'd like to see somebody else. If it's, like, Will Fleming. Like, seriously.
Will Fleming. He's great. By the way, like, I was just speaking of, like, EEI guys. That's the worst part about EEI is, like, when they're talking about, like, they say, like, the legendary Dave O'Brien's, like, guys, I know you got to be nice to him, but, like, let's chill.
Yeah, but I heard that he was pretty good on the radio.
I really hope they are.
So when he called that David Ortiz, was that the radio? Because that was back in 2013.
Yes, he was at EEI then, and I heard that people really liked him on the radio and that he could be a little more himself on the radio. He kind of, like, would swear a bit from time to time and get more animated. So maybe, like, Nesson is honestly, like, sucking the excitement out of Dave O'Brien, too. Who the hell knows? Like,
maybe I doubt that because Mike Monaco comes in, maybe.
Well, Mike Monaco's younger, a little more exciting, but I think, like, maybe, like, the personality-wise, he's just better for radio. Like, I don't know.
Maybe. All right, let's move on to the next game. This game, it was Morgan versus Hoke, as Ed likes to call him. I feel so weird saying Hoke. But Morgan versus Hoke, bad offense right off the rip.
Yeah.
For some reason, Eli Morgan just makes us look like shit. The first game, he only got through three innings, through 40-something pitches. This game, for some reason, they let him go like 5 1/3 innings, and he ended up throwing like 90-something pitches. I have no idea. But is it me, or is it just Schwarber just go up there, and he's just looking? He's like, yep, I'm going to get on base, and here's a double.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just
– I'll take it.
He just looks so confident. He's just so in control, like, when he's up at the plate.
Yeah, and I think a lot has to do with, like, he really struggled in 2020. That's why the Cubs non-tendered him, and he only settled for, like, the one-year contract with them, the mutual option, is because he did struggle. And it's just – it's, like, interesting that he was just like, I struggled, but now I'm just going to really prove to everybody how good I actually am, that, like, I am not 2020. And a lot of guys have been doing that, but I really like how great he's been. We good?
Steve Cohen fucking posted up. He's
what
like,
where are
the, this guy is like, I thought this guy was going
to
be good.
Yeah, for he needs to just shut his mouth.
Where are the Twitter experts complaining about Baez now? They must be away for the weekend. What did Baez do?
I mean, he probably had a game where he wasn't complete dog shit like he has been for most of this half of the season.
I think Baez is easily the most overrated shortstop on the market now.
Is like, he? You know, I mean, because people do not like him anymore.
Yeah, I just think he's like, I mean, yeah, he's kind of proven to be a dick, but I always didn't think he was. He's not as good as Correa. He's not good as Seager. He's not as good as Story. So I always thought that he was like the last of the, you know, everybody that can get the elite shortstops and then have to settle for Javier. Yes, it's there.
He went. So Baez ended up going three. He went 4-for-4, two RBIs and no strikeouts. So
dude, Steve Cohen just needs to shut up, dude. Like, you're the owner.
You're the owner, and you're also like shitting on your fan base a bit, because it's clearly your fan. Like, we could shit on the Red Sox fan base all we want, because like, one, we're a part of it, and we see how stupid they are. If I own the goddamn Red Sox, one, I'm not going to be on Twitter, and two, I'm not going to be like, you know, you're some dumb fans. Like, what are you doing?
Why are you biting the hand that feeds? Like, these are the dudes who, you know, John Henry put their livelihood into your team.
Yeah. Imagine if John Henry was just on Twitter and was like, you know what, Red Sox fans, you all are stupid. Like,
that'd be funny as shit, dude.
I've got some news. I just had, you know, I wasn't looking through Twitter for a little bit, but I always glance over at Twitter once in a while we're on to see if there's any news or whatever. Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic, who is very
she's great.
She's great. Reddit. Great.
I enjoy her, following her. It looks, she posted up, and I quote, "Looks like Kike Hernandez is playing catch on the field post-game here. Probably means he's cleared his protocols. Cora hoped he'd be back Tuesday, but perhaps there's a chance for tomorrow."
That would be awesome. Oh, my God.
Huge.
Like, oh, my God.
Was one of the best hitters on the team when he had to go. So
you just see. They've been playing well, but you really can see the whole lineup.
Here's the cool thing. And it does suck that, you know, the COVID situation hit like it has, and it's been 11 people so far. Well, two of them aren't actual, they haven't been announced as actual COVID, Pivetta and Santana yet.
Yes. But,
so I mean, you basically, you had Kike, he took a well-rested break.
Mm-hmm.
He had COVID, you know, hopefully everything went well for him.
Yeah, it seems to be.
He might be coming back tomorrow. If not tomorrow, Tuesday, absolutely. You got Christian Arroyo, who, God damn, if this guy didn't have bad luck, he would have no luck at all. he should be back very soon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Barnes. Cool thing about Barnes is he actually has a house down at Fort Myers. So he contacted MLB and was like, "Hey, do you mind if I just drive to my house instead of sitting in a hotel?" So he was able to do that. Yeah, you're going to be a little bit more comfortable in your own house than you would be in a fucking, like, a studio fucking hotel or whatever.
Dude, hopefully Barnes actually, was able to get himself right, like, while
I
he's
heard
doing that.
That they put them up in a suite.
Oh, I'm sure they put them up, like, high, and it's getting the best food delivered to you. Yeah, you're having a fun time, though.
No, they had them hauled up in a fucking Motel 6.
Right, like, that's where they had them hauled up. One bar of soap the whole time, that's it. Nothing else.
Fuck you. But I mean, you're getting all these players back, and there's a chance that we could get Darwin's and Hernandez back. They're saying that they're debating on whether or not he should have a rehab start, or because the bullpen is so hurt right now and needs an arm, they might just have him come start going out of the bullpen for the Red Sox. So a lot of good things are coming up. You know,
absolutely
bad game today. There's been a couple, you know, shit losses. We shouldn't have lost that game against the Indians the last time. Have you noticed that we lost the last game of each series against the Indians?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because I'm like, we can sweep them, you know? Yeah. But as long as we do our job, like, we have six more coming up with Baltimore. Like, that should be 6-0. And I don't care if they just took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Like, that to me is 6-0.
We've got the White Sox coming up, and it looks like Lance Lynn. It's a 50-50 chance on whether we miss Lynn, and we're gonna miss Giolito. So there's that. And as long as we just miss Keuchel, I'm fine with that. Isaac said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on and back to the Hauke So I tried something a little different in this game, and I literally tracked every pitch and found out like what pitch he's throwing and this, that, and the other thing. And I had a I'll throw it up on the screen real quick. It's pretty, it's nerdy, actually, in my opinion.
Let's see.
So red is strike, green is ball, blue is in play. I don't know how I got one of them. This one right here is in play twice.
Genius.
Yeah, really. I think that's actually, well, seemed as though it was a strikeout. But he started off, he Houck didn't have real good command of his fastball. And that definitely looks, you know, you didn't need like a spreadsheet or anything to sit there and tell you this, that, and the other thing. I was just trying something different.
Why not?
For not analytical purposes, just to have something there. I was going to do it for today's game, but I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to watch today's game. My nephew's got a fucking football game. But I mean, he threw four fastballs in the first inning. The rest were sliders out of, you know, the 10 total pitches. So he really had a low pitch count. And that seems to be the thing with him. And they just don't trust him going through the lineup the third time. At some point, they have to start doing it.
I think so, too, especially if his pitch count is low. It's just so tricky. It's so tricky because it's like I get them not wanting to expose him. But this offseason, 100%, he needs to, like, focus on that third pitch, because otherwise, 100%.
He only threw 68 pitches, and 47 of them were for strikes, and he got lifted in the sixth inning.
Yeah, that's me. You have that pitch. Yeah, you should go seven. You should be able to potentially go eight. Like, that's a really low pitch count.
Yeah, I mean, he did. Let me check real quick. The sinker is a fastball, but he started throwing his splitter in the third inning more. He did throw a couple in the second inning. He threw a little bit more in the third inning. He threw more in the fourth inning, and then he didn't throw any in the fifth inning.
Yeah, and the splitter is the one that's been, so if he could have he has a four seamer. Obviously, a really good four-seamer, a ridiculous slider. So, I guess if he gets a splitter, and is he working on a fourth, too?
So, I don't know. What's the difference? He has a changeup.
Okay, so that would be four. So, we'd have two variants of the fastball, a changeup, and then a slider. Like, you could be extremely successful.
I have a question, and call me fucking stupid or whatever. What is the difference between a straight four-seam fastball and a sinker?
I think it's just the way you grip it, really.
Yeah, I believe
so. It's like everything. Same with a two-seamer.
Yeah, and also, like, a sinker, like, you know, just, like,
whatever.
She will not let you speak. But, yeah, I think, everything, it really comes to how you're gripping it. And then, of course, you get that, like, that late movement on a sinker that you wouldn't necessarily get. Because sometimes your four-seamers can be straight.
I also don't have a clue on how these guys call, like, a fastball, a sinker. A slider, I can tell, you know, but, like, a fastball, sinker, curveball, changeup, you know, all these pitches and whatnot, so slurve. Like, I don't know how these guys get the call, like, right off the rip.
I guess when you know what you're doing. I mean, really, like, when you're Dennis Eckersley, you only hope. But, like, yesterday, like, who was it? Somebody was getting fooled by all of the pitches. They were like, oh, it looks like it's this. And holy shit, it's not.
It wasn't Eckersley.
Who was it? Somebody was getting completely, like, I think it was DiNardo. DiNardo was getting completely confused by, like, what everybody was throwing. Like, because he's like, oh, that's a cutter. Oh, no, it's not. And I was like, Lenny, what?
He's like, I was getting confused. Like, that, you know, that's not happening. Whatever, dude. No, like, you just didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, Houck ends up getting pulled out. He only goes five innings. Big Fudge comes in. He totally fucking shit his pants.
For his name. He made a big fudge in his pants. Yeah. Very tragic.
He definitely did make a big fudge in his pants. Robles comes in, a big spot. This fucking sucks. Like, it looked like it fucking sucked. Big spot with two outs. And he gets a very lucky carom off of his leg that ends up going to Dahlbeck for the third out. I don't know how fast that ball came off the bat. It didn't look like it was slow. And yeah. Hit him right in the chin.
Oh, yeah. My God. And there's that's just bone. There's, like, nothing protecting your shin. Oh. Oh, I can only imagine. I got kicked in the shin once. Not fun. So I can only imagine getting, like, a 100-mile-an-hour baseball off your shin.
God, fuck that, dude. Robles looked really good, at least today.
Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing, is just really figuring out the bullpen roles, like, once people come back and are healthy. You know, like, who stays, who goes, when you, right. You know?
I was able to pull it up. It was 97.2 miles per hour off the bat.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah. Right off your shin. Yeah, no. Yeah. So I'm hit for him to come back and pitch well today. That's great.
Yeah, it really was. So he got that lucky. Phillips Valdez comes in, throws a total of 22 pitches and gets a ground out, pop up, ground out, line out, pop up, and ground out. He pitched two innings, seventh and eighth. Ottavino comes in. He blew the save. Mm. He gave up that home run to Franmil Reyes.
The first home run.
On an 80.7 mile per hour slider. He just didn't, like, in my opinion, he didn't have a feel for that slider.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Alex Speer tweet that Nestor decided to post. Speer got shit. He got shit on so bad for that. Yeah. And it's like, how are you going to be mad at him? He was just,
he's doing his job.
He's Stat Masterson, as Eckersley calls him. And, you know, he just happened to say something at a time where Ottavino was just not, he didn't have his thing. I also want to talk about how cool it looks that Ottavino actually he's like growing his beard in.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I ain't no Yankee anymore. Here's my beard.
Only losers got mad at Alex Speer. That's not the first time he has shared that stat out, like, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's been kind of incredible that he hadn't given up a home run, unfortunately, at the wrong time to Franmil Reyes. But, like, yeah, he literally hadn't given up a home run. That's kind of incredible. Like, you knew it had to happen, unfortunately. Yeah. And thankfully, we won the game in the end. But
I hate to break it to people. Like, jinxes aren't real, dude. Like, no. People are like, you can't talk about a no-hitter. There's literally, anytime a no-hitter is going on, 10,000 tweets about how there is a no-hitter.
Oh, of course.
my favorite thing about that, and I've been trying to get into, like, the advanced stats and whatnot, you know, the expected batting average and, you know, stuff like that. And I looked this up, and it said that the expected batting average for the Franmil Reyes home run was 890. I was like, how the fuck is this not 100% a home run?
That was like, right.
But then it only went 417 feet.
So I probably, like, Comerica Park. That's just like a lazy fly out.
Yeah, that's like Fenway giveth and Fenway taketh in, like, certain situations. But yeah, if you have a deep outfield out 37-foot wall and left, yeah, that could be an out.
Dude, I would hate playing Comerica Park. That would be an absolute torture as a hitter.
If you're a pitcher, you're probably like, they're the best.
Yeah.
So it sucked that Ottavino blew the save. But the Red Sox ended up at the bottom of the ninth. Shaw ended up hitting for Jack Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
He singled. Taylor Motter comes in. This guy's got some moss.
Yes, he does.
And I looked him up on Twitter, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like, how? Like, I saw a picture of him and his wife, and I'm like, how?
Oh, was his wife beautiful?
Very.
Of course. Yeah, very.
He's probably hilarious. Probably got a really good personality.
I mean, have you seen Justin Turner's wife? Talk about how.
Yes, I have seen
Turner. Yeah, but at least, like, Justin Turner, like, the way he looks, he's got, like, the wild man aesthetic. He's got,
maybe,
like, the
she's into
aesthetic.
Gingers. Like, that's that some people's things. I think Rupert Grint's attractive, but that's about it when it comes to gingers. Rupert Grint from Harry Potter.
Oh.
I've seen him in real life. It's nice. But that's about it on my ginger love.
All right. So Travis Shaw, he ends up hitting for Lopez. He hit a single. Taylor Motter comes in and pitch runs. Aruz. Can we talk about how this guy has been laying down bunts perfectly?
Yeah.
This series.
He had, like, last three? Series,
I don't know if he did three. I know he did at least two. I think Lopez did the other.
Okay, so there were three in the game, right?
Yeah, there's a total of three, which is the first time a Red Sox team has had three in a game since 1993, and it was against the Yankees. But he laid down a perfect bunt. As Schwarber ended up flying out. Devers drew a nice walk.
Yeah.
They intentionally walked JD Martinez to Alex Verdugo.
2-0 count.
So they can have a left-left match, a lefty-lefty match. And my favorite thing was Verdugo saying, I took that personal.
Yeah. Yeah. And he
literally did the Michael Jordan meme.
Mashed that ball. I love the post-game interview when Vasquez got him. He's like, he got me in the ass.
They bleeped it out on today's
Oh, come on, ass.
Yeah, you say ass. Ass on TV.
You could say ass in a goddamn G movie, I feel like.
Yeah.
So come on.
But yeah, he took it personal. Alex Verdugo hit a single to right field that was 108.9 miles per hour off the bat.
Crushed it.
And it had a 670 expected batting average. It was pretty – like, why were they playing him in?
Yeah, I was at first I was like, oh, my God, is he going to get to it? And then I was like, no, it's completely out of reach.
Like, how did you – why would you play him in? Like, I – bases loaded, I would play deep. If you were playing deep, you know, it seems – who's the interim manager right now?
It's DeMar LaHale.
He's made some questionable calls this series. But yeah, that was a good game. Fantastic walk off.
Yes,
that was so fun. Good.
I listened to it because I was on my way to my friend's play that she was producing, and I was like, "Well, I gotta listen to the game." And I was like, "Oh, sounds so good."
Yeah, it definitely was. It's definitely one of those games where I watched the Sox in two just because. Go ahead, Hogdale. You sounded like you were about to say something.
Oh yeah, I was literally just gonna make a point about the. Like Verdugo, like where he hits the ball, like I didn't understand how they played that either. Cause like it feels like 90% of the time he's either pulling the ball like super hard or he's going complete oppo and it's like no in between.
Yeah. If he, so, like, if he goes really... oppo, you're screwed. You're screwed.
Right.
But, like... yeah. It was a good win. It was a fun game to watch. I enjoy watching Isaac go crazy on Twitter. He's like, we're going to fucking lose this game, aren't we? You know, like it's so incredibly funny how many people like, Isaac is so.
Oh yeah.
He wears his emotions on his sleeve, and like 10 minutes later, he'd be like, "It's okay, I, you know." Like, JD Martinez hits the shit out of a ball straight to a like an outfielder, and he'll just be like, "Fucking JD Martinez hit a ball that was straight down the middle. How did you not crush that? You such a piece of shit!" And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, "I can't blame JD Martinez for not crushing that ball. It was a you know." And then like he'll explain why. He's just funny. Sometimes it's a bit much, but I do like following him and whatnot. All right, let's move on to the next game. This was today's game that was not very fun. It was actually fun, but it wasn't fun because we lost.
That's
what it is. At least the Yankees, the A's.
Yep.
Who let's else?
See how are the Mariners doing?
Let me.
Now let's see. Seattle. It's tied 3-3. Oh, shit, though. They have the bases low and nobody out. Oof. So the Mariners are going to definitely win. Oh, it's the top of the 11th. Yeah. Shit. No way.
Zero outs.
Yeah. There's no way in hell.
The thing about today's game is I resigned to the fact that they were going to lose as soon as Pivetta went down with COVID. I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, they're bound to lose today. It's just kind of a...
Oh.
It's a bummer.
They walked Ty France to load the. It was walks. They were both
walks.
It was walks. Well, I mean, you got the zombie runner on second too, so you can't.
Yeah, really... that's true. So yeah, the.
But the
imagine playing on the Arizona Diamondbacks this year, dude. Just imagine.
Imagine playing on the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh my God! It just sounds like hell on earth.
My thing with the Orioles is like. Oh my God, I hope that they're like, I don't hope because they're in our division, but at the same time, I feel so bad for them that, you know, I hope.
I don't feel
like,
bad for the Orioles. I feel bad for the fans.
Yeah, I really do. It's totally
an ownership and front office situation where they're fucking that team completely up.
Because they have potential. Like Hayes is good. Mountcastle is good. Obviously, Mullins has just been having such a great season. Mancini, that's four like pretty good hitters. It's really like they're sort of trending into the way of the Angels where they're just getting absolutely no pitching and their bullpen is just dog crap, you know.
Well, their bullpen might be dog shit, but they took a series against the Yankees. And
I'll take that any day. The Yankees, the Yankees. Also, the Yankees just had Loaisiga go down for a long-ass time.
I'm not gonna end up like shitting on a player for going down. But I mean, if it was anybody else that went down, it would be like, oh, okay. But Loaisiga is a big arm.
Their bullpen's cooked because Chapman just sucks now. Loaisiga was their closer. Like, he was their high leverage guy.
Loaisiga is good.
Do we really want to talk about the Chapman situation?
With regards to him being bad?
He's just really bad at baseball.
Dog shit lately?
Yeah. It's because he's just throwing. It's like he's overthrowing and he's throwing so hard that, like, there's no, like, he just doesn't know where the fastball is going. I mean, I'll take it any day of the week, but it's just like, it's like he forgot how to pitch.
He really did. Like, it's so odd.
I mean, I'm enjoying it. Oh shit, 4-3 now. Yeah, nope, there's no way. 5-3, yeah. Oh, there's no the hope. Game. There's the game.
5-3. So, he hit a double, so it's a
how many games back are the Mariners for the wild card?
Yeah, like
right
that's
now?
The thing. Like, I know. Yeah. Oh, are they really on the A's trail that much? On the tail?
Here, let me.
They're four. They're 3.5 out. Shit. They're ahead. Yeah. They're actually ahead of Oakland. Oakland and Toronto are tied at 4. Fuck. I really hate how tight this is.
Think about, like, the Mariners.
Yeah, Seattle's 3.5.
Yeah.
They can be 3.
Shit. This is
gonna, is that I have no faith in them, and I just don't think they're going to catch us. I just don't.
I mean, I would love to believe that Seattle, Toronto, and Oakland are just not going to. And I think so, especially if the Red Sox keep winning series. They'll get to, like, 95 wins and start sweep your bad teams. Please don't. Unfortunately, I know it's COVID. That helped with punting today. But, like, I don't like punting any games. Right. Win your damn games. So I really think that – I think we're better. Like, I think we're better.
We definitely are better, but we got to get our better players. I mean,
back.
Losing,
for sure.
Losing
the Red
Kike
Sox are
was
a sleeping giant
hit.
Right now.
Kike was a big hit. Mm-hmm. Arroyo was a big loss. Hopefully Barnes comes back rejuvenated and able to, like, throw out of the pen, you know, be that closer type role so we can shut Brady up. how he's not that guy.
Yeah. Oh, Kike just tweeted COVID jail photo dump. Like, all just pictures of himself, like, playing baseball because he can't right now. Oh, I love Kike.
Kike is great. And Bogey's been out because of it. It's just so annoying. Yeah. Like, the Red Sox are playing so well right now, and they're going to get, like, half their team back.
Yes.
Like, all the COVID.
Like, we're going to just only get better.
Did he tweet that, or was that Instagram?
Oh, it was Instagram. Yeah, he Instagrammed it.
Oh, okay. I was about to say,
a half hour ago.
He's not a fucking...
I was like, does he even tweet?
Yeah, I haven't seen him tweet in fucking forever.
Kiki has too much of a positive mental image to be using Twitter.
Right.
Hold on. I want to see this.
Oh, yeah. Kiki back.
Yeah, he had one post.
Yeah, did it like a half hour ago, I think. So
the jail
him...
photo dump. Yeah. Nice. I love Kike.
Oh my god, his daughter is freaking adorable. Every time he posts a picture of her, I'm like, this is the cutest little kid.
Yeah,
because I mean, his wife's beautiful. He's hot as hell. So that's like some genetic lottery right there.
He was my hot man of the team.
He really is. Like, I just, like, forgot about him because he was on COVID. I was like, that guy. He's like secretly jacked too. He's like sneaky, like, in great shape. So, like, him having a beautiful wife, I'm like, well, yeah.
Of course.
A beautiful wife with a sense of humor. So I love this woman. Like, to take those, like, photos that they did for their engagement photos, I was like, she has a great sense of humor. So it's awesome.
My favorite was when he was announced, they were announcing the...
the pregnancy? Yeah.
Yeah, the pregnancy.
And he had the belly.
The belly. That was pretty funny. All right, let's get this over with. Let's talk about the last game. Nick Pivetta had been pulled... and placed on the COVID IL as a precaution due to the inconclusive test. Danny Santana was also on the COVID IL as a precaution due to the fact that he was feeling sick and his test came back negative and whatnot, but they weren't taking any chances. It was a precaution.
Very good.
Cutter Crawford ended up getting the call up. He was the one that was going to start the game today. Tough game for Cutter Crawford anyways. Franchi Cordero ended up being called up for Danny Santana. It's almost like people forgot that Cordero was up. And
that he's a real player.
Yeah, it sucks. I feel bad for the dude.
I really do because he has the tools. It's just a matter of putting them together.
Yeah, he definitely needs to get it together. And can you imagine? I really want to see what the Woo Sox are going through right now because how many of these fucking players are? It's like, okay, well, we're calling up this person, and that person. And they're like, well, we don't have anybody to fucking start tonight. So, all right,
we're bringing up double A. This person up.
So there's that. Devers was not in the lineup today. I think it was on EEI I was listening to. Castillo was actually doing an interview with Alex Cora, and Cora had said that Rafi actually came to him and was like, hey, man, I need a day off. Mm-hmm. His last day off before today was July 30th. So he played
a while ago.
Yeah, he played every single game in the month of August. So yeah, he needed a day off, and he still came up to bat, struck out, and he was just basically like, "Yeah, whatever, I'm going back to having my day off,"
which is more than fine. Like people that like shit on the players, even if they ask for it, it's like we're not in the days of Cal Ripken Jr. where he just played his entire career. Like, you know, those days are gone.
It's not like, even that, man. Playing like 30 plus games in a row.
Yeah, it's tough.
At his position, it's, you know, and imagine that, like, I can't imagine like how many, imagine not having a day off and you worked like 40 days straight.
Yeah.
Like you'd be pissed too. So,
yeah. And you need your day off.
It was announced that Kike was back up in Boston. Obviously, you know, we announced it earlier with the Jim McCaffrey tweet saying that he could rejoin on Tuesday or Wednesday. It looks like it could be tomorrow. Darwinson Hernandez threw a second live bullpen. As I said earlier, Cora was saying they were deciding if he should go on a rehab assignment or just join the team because the bullpen is so short. Mm-hmm. They will make that decision tomorrow. Talk about Cutter Crawford. I didn't see anything from Crawford, but I do know that he went two innings. He gave up five hits. All five hits ended up being earned runs. He gave up two walks. He got two strikeouts. One of his hits was a home run. He ends up with a 22.5 ERA. Can't really blame him. It's a spot start. It is what it is.
It's a rough spot to be in.
Really not ready. He's really not ready.
Right. You can definitely say that. Schreiber ends up coming in. The Sox didn't score. This is like how the offense has really been. It's like they don't score until late into the game.
Yeah.
So the Sox didn't score until the fifth inning, which I might add again. That's when I started watching the game. JD hit a double to left field that Harold Ramirez this was absolutely ridiculous. That slide was just stupid. There was no need to slide. And he ended up knocking in Renfro, who also had a double. I'd like to talk about DiNardo real quick because I forgot there was a person, whoever it was. Someone was on third, and then whichever batter it was came up, and he had a double. And he was like, oh, they just switched spots. It's like, no, you fucking moron. That's not how this works.
Yeah, I feel like Lenny's fine when he's like with TC in studio. That's totally fine. I just don't think that Lenny is great being in the booth.
The commentator?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Schreiber, the Red Sox ended up scoring three in the bottom of the fifth. Now Schreiber went three innings. He gave up four hits, one run. It was earned. He walked one and struck out five. Stephen Gonsalves comes in the top of the sixth.
He looked good.
Zero outs was after Schreiber gave up a double to Austin Hedges. Again, he just destroys us. Taylor Motter ended up replacing Devers, who pinch hit for Jack Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And he made one hell of a play.
It was insane.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane.
Now, Zemir, did that kind of have like Dustin Pedroia vibes for a second baseman?
It did. It was great. Like, it was such a clutch play. I mean, we lost in the end, but there was hope in that half inning, you know, and that gave us hope. But I thought that the pen outside of Valdez looks so good. Like,
Valdez definitely fucking struggled.
Yeah, I never knew what like a stroke looks like until I saw Phillips Valdez like pitch today. Like he just like had a stroke and then just kept pitching.
You better calm down there because if Valdez catches wind of this, he might fucking
tell you.
That was funny. That was the funniest shit of the season. Dude, I implore him to do it. Tell me I'm a piece of shit. I don't mind. That's fucking funny.
Fuck you, fat ass. So that was the Modder's play was fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. Renfro ended up coming in, hitting a bloop to center field in the bottom of the sixth. JD Martinez hit a two-run blast. This actually pissed me off. Modder walked, and then he got picked off.
Yeah, that pisses me off so much. Like, because who knows what happens in that bat? Schwarber's that bat. Like, you know, you hit
Schwarber
it.
Wasn't Schwarber ahead of the count? Like, he was like two.
No, he was behind in the count.
Oh, was he?
Was he behind? I can't
still
remember.
Like he always puts a good at bat.
Let me see if I can pull up that.
Yeah, but no, it's like you don't know what Schwarber's gonna do, and if Schwarber hits a home run, you have the lead. So it's just the stupidity.
And in that situation, you don't bring Phillips Valdez in.
Exactly. So, like, there's just situations where their base running has just been terrible. These are things that you need to – I don't know how – why is your fundamentals so bad? Like, base running, defense, it's like, come on. That's a big thing that I think Haim needs to really figure out the offseason is
– It was a 2-2 count. Defense.
Okay, 2-2. So who the hell knows? The guy is such a good damn hitter.
Like Red Sox, why are you the way you are? Why?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think defense needs to be –
It needs to be better.
Yeah.
Brazier had another outing. It was a good 1-2-3 outing for him. Robles comes in to relieve Brazier, and then Valdez comes in and totally shits his pants. Yeah. Like, you want to talk about shitting your pants? Valdez shit his pants.
He took a laxative.
Valdez struggled in the ninth I think it was more than four batters, but he gave up like three runs, I believe.
He gave up five, I think. I think it was five runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was five runs.
They have a five-run inning. It's just the thing with the Valdez is he, like, comes out, you know, and, like, matches pitch for pitch against Gerrit Cole. And then, you know, we throw him in a situation where we have an incredible lead, and he almost – well, I mean, there was no way we weren't going to – like, we weren't going to win that game. But then he makes it, like, he gives up, like, eight runs. And then today he comes in and gives up, like, five runs. It's like, who are you? Like, and you're very wildly inconsistent. That's really, really what it is. You can't trust him.
With as bad as Crawford's outing was and him only going two innings, he did have nine swinging misses.
Yeah. No, I think he possesses really good stuff. I just don't think he's ready. So that's the whole coming back to throwing him in an impossible situation. It's like, there's a potential for him to be really good, whether it be in the bullpen, because I know the Sox prospects guys don't really have him projected as a starter, which is the thing with the Red Sox is like, they've been lacking developing starting, but they've been like really good at developing like good bullpen pieces. Like, you know, you could say what you want about Darwin's in, but I think he's going to eventually come into his own. Great pen piece. Barnes, great pen piece. We don't know what Hauk will be, but, like, I could say right now Hauk would be a great pen piece if he couldn't figure out how to start. So it's – I don't know. It's a starting pitching block. That's really what it is.
Yeah, we got to figure out what's going on with Hauk. Are we going to make him a starting pitcher, or are we going to make Whitlock the starting pitcher?
I think Whitlock might have better stuff.
Yeah,
and he already has. Yeah, no, I mean, not necessarily a duh. Like, the stuff that he possesses is fantastic. It's just I think Whitlock has a better handle on having more pitches at this time.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like
I can agree, like a year or two from now, where we can just do what the Rays do and have like 50 pitchers that we can just use on command. Like
that would be amazing.
Send them up and down the entire year.
Yeah, but I'd love to give both of them a chance.
We have like 15 arms in AAA that can all like give a solid bullpen innings.
That would be amazing.
All right, guys, you guys have anything else that you want to add onto the episode?
Yeah, I wanted to shout out to Bill. Send him positive vibes. His father passed away recently. Sal Sox, that Twitter account.
Oh,
Bill.
Really?
Yeah, his dad passed away, and I want to send positive vibes to Bill. We're thinking about you, pal. You know, I know it's tough, you know, and we love you.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that.
I had no idea. He didn't say anything. I didn't see anything. Did he post it?
He put a tweet out. You might have just missed it.
Oh, yeah. I just totally miss it. So, yeah, we love you, Bill. We love what you tweet and anything we can do to help you get through this horrible situation.
Positive vibes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm actually just sending her a message right now.
Yeah. Because we're about positivity on this show.
Yeah, we don't want to be like other podcasts that just want to crap.
I have no idea who you could possibly be referring to.
All right. fucking guys. Like, do you guys hate me? Do you just fucking hate me? Is that all?
A little.
Yeah, that's fine. I get it. All right. Well, before we end up going, let's go over the next series. Mm-hmm. We got Sale, Rodriguez, and Eovaldi, which are big arms that we need in this situation. We're going up against the Tampa Bay Rays. Mm-hmm. We got Yarbrough, Rasmussen, and McClanahan. What do we got?
Fuck it. We sweeping them.
I think it's possible, but I'm going to just do the 2 out of 3. I think we can take a Sale. I think we can take an Eovaldi. Might lose the middle one, but it's possible to really sweep it. It really is.
I haven't been this encouraged with how the Sox have played in a few months. I love how they look right now.
A sweep
would
just be
they're bringing.
Yeah, a sweep would be massive, especially if you're getting like Kike back, you know.
I don't want to be that person.
Dude,
don't
do the jinx. Just say we're gonna get swept.
I want to kind of do the head. Where
do
it's
the
like,
head. We're gonna lose them all.
We're gonna get swept. Fine, fuck you. I'm gonna say it. We get swept.
Tragic.
There we go.
Well,
one of us is right. There's gonna be a sweep. We're gonna take 2 out of 3. Well, actually, no, because we need the person to say 1 out of 3. But
1 of 3. Here, I'll say that. There I'll give we us go. More of a positive.
A little.
I don't want to be way. Right. I definitely don't want to be right.
I want.
I think
Hondale to be right.
I think we're going to take the Sale game.
Yeah, I think we can take the Sale game. God, I really do. I'm like on the Hondale. I think we could take. I really think we could take the 3.
Yeah, I love Chris Sale so much.
You know what? Fuck it. Why don't we just all go with the sweep?
Let's go with the sweep, and then we're all going to get disappointed. No, but I just can't. Sweeping
dude,
it
if
up.
They,
baby.
If they only take like 2 out of 3, I'm going to be livid.
Yeah, right.
I'm
you
so
only
pissed.
Take 2 out of 3, you sons
like,
of bitches.
You fucking shuckle fucks.
I've
like,
always
what are
said
you
I want to. I want to win fucks. Series. Win yeah. series moving forward. So I will be delighted with 2 out of 3.
I'll take a 2 out of 3. I want to sweep. That's what I'm.
Yeah.
At.
Yeah. There we go. So,
need it.
Yeah. Definitely need it. We got Kike most likely coming back tomorrow. So I mean, he's on the field right now, and he's throwing the ball up and down. All right. Well, Bailey, again, thank you so much for joining. And,
always. Yeah.
Hi, Gail. We'll see you on Wednesday, huh, buddy?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. It's going to be awesome.
And so, everybody else, have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Pesky Report. Make sure to follow us on social media at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pesky Report. No matter what platform you're listening to us on, please make sure to leave us a review and a comment and let us know how we're doing. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
It's crazy how Chris Sale has daddy long neck energy.